world cannot accept him, meaning the Spirit, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about that life that has many questions. We have all these questions of our God. What am I going to do in life, Lord? How many children am I going to have? Am I able to raise these children in your word? How many other questions do we have? Lord, what are you going to do with my body? Lord, I'm growing older. What's going to happen to me? Lord, what kind of trials and tribulations and problems are you going to bring to my life or allow to happen in my life? What's going to happen, Lord? Maybe we've even thought about life in this way. A young man was walking in town, and his name was Tim Timmons. And as he was walking, he saw some graffiti on the wall of a building, and it read, "This life is a test. It is only a test. Had this life had been an actual life, you would have received instructions as to what to do and where to go." Have you ever thought about life being that way? Have you ever thought about life lived in holiness and blamelessness? Have you thought about where your life is and in what it is grounded in? Because as we think about this life, our life, here in this world, we are grounded, we are planted in Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about what God did for you in your baptism. When the pastor said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." That God took you and said, "You are my child." And Paul echoes this as he says, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And in this, Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's teaching those around him that they are planted, they are rooted into Jesus. And no matter what happens in their life, no matter what test life will bring them, no matter what temptation will happen, no matter what happens, they belong to the Lord, you belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord because of that baptism. You belong to the Lord because of what Jesus did for you. And he's your living Savior. And he comes to you. He comes to you through word and sacrament. And as he comes to you, he says, "You're my child. I'm going to take hold of your hand. And I'm going to walk you through your life." Last night on the news, they were focusing in on a family of three. And this man was doing a garden. And there was a plaque in this garden. And what they were doing was they were focusing in on the trials that this family had gone through. The trial of the death of a son. And health issues that happened with the wife. And how he was on bended knee doing this garden for them. And I couldn't help but think that as we face difficulties in our life, that we just don't have a garden in front of us with beautiful flowers to look at and to have us go through all of the motions, but we've got a holy God. We've got a Savior, Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit that God has sent to us to remind us that we are God's loved children, to remind us that no matter what happens in this life, that we are firmly held to God Himself. And we're firmly held to God Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that the disciples couldn't grasp hold of the Holy Spirit in the upper room because they could barely grasp hold of Jesus as Master, as Lord, as Redeemer. Even though Jesus told them that the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders were going to take him and kill him, but on the third day he was going to rise again, they had no clue as to what that was. So Jesus was withholding the Holy Spirit from them so they could grasp all the things that were going to happen to Jesus himself. And then he brings the Holy Spirit in and says he will be the guide for your lives. You see, the Holy Spirit guides us in our lives. Holy Spirit takes hold of our hand and guides us through the temptations and trials of life. The Holy Spirit builds us up. The Holy Spirit encourages us. The Holy Spirit has a difficult job because he takes people like us, stubborn, obstinate people. People that sometimes, well, I shouldn't say sometimes, but people that sway from God from time to time. People that go away from God, don't want to have anything to do with him. It happens. And yet, God continues to send that Holy Spirit to bring them ever more closer to himself. Ever more, so that they may know who God is. So God takes a obstinate and stubborn people, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, whom he promises to us, he crafts us, he builds us up, he encourages us. But sometimes the world cannot grasp God, cannot grasp Jesus, cannot grasp the Holy Spirit. And the world tells us that through the abilities and skills that we have, we need to be doing certain things. Ever remember taking talent tests in school? Tests that you could take, and as you go down this test and then you hand it in and the results come back to what you can do in life. You ever take a test like that? I remember taking a test like that in school. I think it was in junior high. And it came back that I would be a YMCA director. And I kind of chuckled at that. And I said, well, maybe that's what God has in store for me. But God had in store more difficult and more joyful things in life. See, he does that. He does that through the power of the Word and through the power of the sacrament. He tells us we're his. He says, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You see that little sentence? He has called me by name, and I am his. And as we are his, he implants the Holy Spirit by faith in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit sustains that faith. Oh yes, we're going to have rocky roads. Oh yes, we're going to go through the pitfalls of life, the potholes of life. We're going to go through the sicknesses and the deaths. We're going to go all through that. But as we go through that, our Lord and Savior tells us through the word and the sacrament that we are His, and we will continue to dwell in His power and strength. And as we do, He uses us. He uses us through the words that we speak. He uses us through the actions we do. He uses our words and our actions. It was interesting that Friday night we usually pick from the envelope to see where we're going to go for dinner. And since it was Karen's birthday this last week, she got the right to trump whatever was picked from the envelope. And so she picked, out of town, she picked the Stone Barn. It's in Wisconsin, it's a stone barn and it has pizza. But mostly you're sitting outside and you remember what was going on Friday night. It was rain. And in town was the Jewel Country Club. And we've been to the Jewel many times. So she trumped it and she said the Hubble House. Oh. So we went to the Hubble House for supper. And it was amazing when the salad came before me and when Karen's, I don't know, can't remember what she had. Oh, she had herring, that's what it was. And when that came, we both bowed our heads and said a word of grace. Even amongst the noise that was happening around us, to ask God's blessing on the food that we are about to eat. And it was just, even though I heard the rumble of noise, it was nice to say grace. Because you never know what kind of people you will have an impact on. And this is leading to this illustration that I've read, that I read a few years ago. Because we never know what kind of impact we're going to have in people's lives. And in her book, Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World, now you can get that image of yourselves being shook out into the world. This author, Rebecca Manley Pippert, tells about a brilliant college student named Bill, who became a Christian. But Bill was unconventional. He wore t-shirts and jeans and no shoes. Whether it was raining or snowing or sleeting, she says he never wore shoes. But one Sunday, he went to church. And as he came into church, it was packed. It was packed full. And he walked up the center aisle looking for a seat and couldn't find one. So he got up in front of the first pew, and in a lot of churches, the first pew, there is a railing, a wall, if you will, in front. And so he sat down right in front of the first pew. An older gentleman who was ushering got up in the back, and the people were holding their breath as he walked forward. They didn't know if he was going to ask him to leave, so they were holding their breath. But this author says he didn't ask him to leave. He sat down with him and worshiped that service. And she says, as she closes off this part, she says, there was not a dry eye in the congregation, except maybe for the two that were sitting up there. You see, God uses us as that salt shaker. We don't know when God will take that salt and cause growth in a person, but God will. God uses you By the power of the Holy Spirit who confesses faith in him, he's going to use you as his witness, as his servant. Uphold and encourage others. May he be able to use you in his kingdom as you continue to touch lives of others. In Christ's holy name, amen.